some in the Psalms. Some in the Psalms. And Psalms is actually a book of poems that are put together. And today I'm going to talk about Psalms 1, and I'm going to let you guess the name of the track in a minute. But I think if Psalms was written in 2017, it sounds something like this. I got my man Tyler. He's going to come do a spoken word and kind of tell you what Psalms 1 would sound like in 2017.
How's everyone doing this morning? You guys know hurt people, hurt people?
Yeah.
Have you heard that? Hurt people, hurt people? My mom told me when I grew up I'd be divorced and lonely, but it's funny because back then she was divorced and lonely. My uncle told me, boy, don't get stuck in your dreams, stick to what the family's always done. Then again, he never had a dream and he stuck to what the family had always done. My friends told me the music thing won't work, nobody is listening. And you guessed it, that's coming from people who stopped the music thing because nobody was listening. People talk about seeing victories every day, but honestly, I'm just trying to stop listening to these voices every day. I want to wake up and instantly get in his word way before I mess up and start listening to his word.
Yeah.
I want to be planted deep within the ground so when that seed finally breaks, nobody can pull me out. Now, hear me out. A tree can't bear fruit until the seed breaks. So every morning I pray that the sun would shine and he would have his way.
Give it up for Tyler. Now, I think the appropriate way to give it up for spoken word is not a clap, but a... That's all right. That's Psalms 1 in 2017. I'm going to preach from the Bible here. Psalms 1. I think every summer has a song or a playlist that strikes up nostalgia. I graduated in the year of 1994, and we went to Panama City Beach for our senior trip, and all you heard was Warren G's Regulator, Mount Up. And then when I was saved, I listened to Hezekiah Walker, How Many Times Do I Go Against Your Will? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You think about songs from the summer that just bring up nostalgia. To think of some of you, it's Al Green's, some of you it's church songs, but the book of Psalms is a book of poems, and I want to give you a new playlist to play. And today it's going to be Psalms chapter 1, but I want you to guess what track I picked that's going to be the title of my sermon today. James, can you hit the track in the back? Some of y'all going to know it in 1 minute. Can you cut it? I don't want nobody to go way too far back. Some of you are going to start. Just waking up in the morning, got to thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. All right. So today's sermon is, today was a good day. Lord, they're going to ask y'all what y'all did in church. Y'all went from pulling me through and falling out in hugs to singing Ice Cube. But it's all good. It is all good. Next week, I want you to read your Bible this week. This week is Psalms 1. You can recap it. You can read the message always on the website. Next week is going to be Psalms 103, 1 through 12. I want you to read it, and I want you to go on our church's Facebook page, my Facebook page, and I want you to guess what track I picked for that. And then the following week, it's going to be Psalms 91, 1 through, I think, 16 there. So I want you got some homework there. I want you to read your Bible. All right? Let's go to Psalms chapter 1, and let's start it out. I'm going to just preach it verse by verse. All right? If you got your smartphone, you can follow me there on the screen, but I want you to see it there in front of you. It says this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It tells you a progression. You go from walking to standing and sitting in the wrong place. I want to tell you how to become the right person and find the right path in life. And three things to do to live in this blessed state that it's talking about here. Number one, you got to walk in wise counsel. Do not walk in ungodly counsel. Your counsel is going to determine how you live your life. Counsel is this. It's your purpose. It's plans. It's wisdom. It's theology. And for many people, ungodly counsel is based off people's failures in life. I was listening to Tyler's line there. He said his uncle told him not to dream, but he was a man that never dreamed and did what the family always did. There are some people who have failed in life and they're trying to counsel you out of their failure. And as a result, they can invoke fear in certain things in your life. To walk in ungodly counsel is this. It means to be immoral and without godly restraint and controls. And it also means to live purely off one's own experience. And how many know that God has done a whole lot more than you experienced? Wise counsel is this. It's one that stirs your faith. It's one that causes you to do the right thing. Wrong counsel in the right situation that God's trying to do something great in will have you in a mess. The wrong counsel will say, I wouldn't take that if I was you. Go and cuss your boss out. Go and send the entire, some of y'all have had days where you wanted to send the entire company an email and tell them how bad you thought they were. Don't just look straight ahead. He said, how did he know? You wanted to cuss everybody out. You wanted to slap the woman down the street, dude down the, you don't even know, you're just so angry. And the wrong person would say, go on and do it. The wrong guy tell you, go and be a dog, dog. I mean, go and do what you do. But the right counselor will tell you to think. I know it's tough, but strategize. I know you have a right, you want to get revenge, but pray through this and have faith and watch God see you through. Because righteous people live by faith. Here's the thing about wrong counsel. When you're in right counsel, they will stir up your faith and make you feel like you can conquer the world. Wrong counsel will get you in fear and then cause you to do something stupid. Wrong counsel will have you driving down to somewhere crazy and doing something stupid in the right situation that God wants to bless you. So the next thing is that you got to stand in the path of the righteous. Yeah. The path of sinners will lead you down the wrong way, but the path of righteous will lead you to your destiny. I was having lunch with this gentleman that he's in the actually Summer League now. He's playing with the Boston Celtics Summer League, and he's believing God to get into the NBA. And when we were sitting there eating, I ordered my Sprite with grenadine. The lady said, you want a Shirley Temple? I said, I like the masculinity, the way it sounds. Give me a Sprite with grenadine. And she said, all right, I'll bring it to you. And he ordered a water. And I said, man, you don't drink soda tea? He said, no. He said, I figured if I'm going to be a pro, I need to start acting like a pro. His name does not sound to a contract yet. But he said, I'm going to start acting like it before I'm there. And I got so convicted because I knew I needed to drink water. So I started there. I got the water. I said, I always tell my servant now, give me some water, but then put some tea and sugar in it. I ain't got the tea and sugar off yet. I got, at least the water part came out my mouth. But here's the reality is, you got to start acting like what you're going to be it even before you become it. That makes sense. That's what faith is called, right? You may not feel good right now, but I'm going to act like I'm already there. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to look like what you're going through. Look on the other side and say, neighbor, you don't have to look like what you're going through. If I got a million or a penny, you'll never know the difference. Because when God gets on you, he puts a swagger beyond what you'll ever imagine. I may be sick in my body, but you'll have no idea. Because I will bless the Lord at all times. Because I have no idea why I'm praising God, healing's liable to happen. While I'm acting like I'm already there, God is putting things and people in my path. Y'all right here? Y'all got me going. So the next thing is this. I got to sit in the seat of praise. Many of us are sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're negative, you're bitter, nothing's ever going right, but I dare you to switch seats and begin to praise God. Begin to say, God, I don't know how this thing is going to work out, but I will bless you. I will magnify you. Yes, now, some of you say, I'm not a verbose person. I'm not an emotional person. But can everybody breathe in and breathe out? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I'm not making my heart beat right now. I'm not doing anything. It's the goodness of God that has kept me alive. I've made some mistakes, but because of God, I'm still here. Can we give God praise all over the building? Now, that was good, but I got some folks in here that God has been better than you, than you've been to yourself. And you can say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I don't know where I would be. And you know what I found out? There are two times to praise God, when you feel like it and when you don't.
Yes, sir.
Because the goodness of God never changes. I don't care how bad things are. The Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Somebody say, sit in the seat of praise. Matter of fact, can I challenge some of you this morning, this week? Declare this is a no cussing week. Somebody, oh, God, you're doing good. Because some of you say, there were some cuss-worthy folks. Well, we serve a praise-worthy God.
Yes.
And my praise is bigger than that cussing out.
Yes, sir.
No negativity this week. When you get ready to complain, I will bless the Lord at all times. When you get ready to talk about how bad things are and ain't nothing working out for me, God, all things are working together for my good. Now, some of you, I might as well just ask you to give me $1 million. But you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. When I sit in the seat of prayer. Now, listen, watch this. Now, when you're at work, you can't do all that. You're in the middle of a tough meeting. You can't take no 30-second praise break. You bucking and shouting and tearing up. You can't do all that at work. But you know what you do? You declare faith. Don't get defensive if you don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to find it. It may not be working out, but listen, brain, think. Don't spaz out. Don't just throw your stuff all over the place. Don't walk out. Sit here and figure this thing out. If there's an answer, God can lead me to it. That's how you think when you face problems. You don't just spaz out, cuss everybody out, and just look crazy the whole day. No. God, you are the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for you. I'm sitting in the seat of praise. I'm walking in the way of the righteous. I have wise counsel, and I will figure this thing out. That's how it works with God. That makes sense? Let's go to the next thing is this. Verse 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I love that Snickers commercial. When the people are hungry, and they look like one thing, like Joe Pesci in one, and then he eats the Snickers bar and turns into somebody completely different. You are wired the same way. You are no good unless the word of God. When I say no good, I mean you're less than. It means you function. A part of you just loves the word of God. And you got to meditate in it day and night. You don't, you're not you when you're hungry. Y'all got any Snickers lovers in here? Well, I wish y'all get excited about Psalms 1 like them Snickers. I want you to never forget this point. You raise your hand in the back. I'm going to give you a Snickers. Right there, right there. You at baptism. And you can come too. You can come too, both of y'all. Y'all can come. You want to baptize? You come on. And I'm going to give you another one the Sunday you get baptized. I'm going to just throw it in the water. When you come up, just grab it. And you walk on out with it. There you go. Anybody else? I got three more Snickers. Anybody else want a Snicker in here? You can come grab them out of my hand. Just come, Kim, you can come grab one. Yeah, you can grab one too. Y'all can eat it here in the church if you want to. Just take the trash with you. I wanted you to have a reminder that you're not you when you're hungry. Anybody know when you're hungry, don't nothing go right? Don't you talk to me. What's wrong? I'm hungry. And I'm not going. And then when you after you eat, just get quiet. Just the whole room quiet. Just quiet. Just hungry and sleepy. But the Bible says you have to do the word of God like that. It says you delight in the law of the Lord. In his law do you meditate day and night. Does that mean I take my Bible around all the time and just read it all the time? No, it means you live the Bible all the time. When I started preaching at 18, and people found out in college, they thought, oh, we know you just sit in your room and read your Bible all day and then go to class and your life is perfect. They had no idea. I didn't read my Bible all day. I had the same struggle and temptation that everybody else had, but I knew how to apply the Bible all day. You got to learn how to apply it all day because there's a scripture for every situation. Anybody ever felt revenge? You just wanted to get somebody back, and you could. And you can make them look like a fool in front of everybody. Well, I got a scripture for you. You want to hear it? Romans 12 and 19 says, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. When that revenge comes up, you remind yourself, the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, God ain't going to break their leg. Stuff ain't going to fall apart. For them, that's not how it works. God is going to save them. He's going to save you in the situation. Anybody ever, you ever struggle in your confidence? I'm going to lift both my hands for everybody who didn't want to raise their hands. You tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when you can't figure out the answer, I can do all things. And when that can comes out, that can comes out, that can't goes away, I can go work out. I can figure out this problem. I can get a promotion. I can get healed. I can overcome this. I can do the best that I can. I can live peaceably. I can get along with you. I can resist myself from cussing everybody out. I can do it through Jesus. Now, you can't do it in your own strength. You done tried it. But you can do it through his strength in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all never struggle with this, but I struggle with fear. And I read scriptures to myself like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And when I begin to repeat that, things like no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will make a joyful noise unto the Lord all in the land. His goodness and mercy shall keep me all the days of my life. When you repeat these things, your spirit wakes up. You ever watched a movie and something inside of you wakes up like, I can do that? You ever hear a song when it just make you want to fall in love? You just want to, you go to a wedding like, I'm getting married again tomorrow. It's something inside of you that is waiting to be inspired. And when you read the word of God, it is inspiring your faith. The next thing is this. Can you go to my next slide? Verse 3 says this. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Somebody say planted. That yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Here's what I want you to remember. If you can tweak this, put this down, write this. Faithful always produces fruitful. Faithful always produces fruitful. Gave the analogy here of we being us being like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You have a constant source that you'll never run dry. You know why a believer never has to be insecure? You know why you never have to throw your neighbor under the bus? Because you're connected to God. And when God plants you, you have everything that you need. You don't have to take down from nobody. You don't have to compare yourself to nobody. What God has for me, it is for me. Somebody say that with me. What God has for me, it is for me. Say it again. What God has for me, it is for me. Say it till you believe it. What God has for me, it is for me. He says, I'm planted. Anybody got a garden or you got a nice... some nice shrubbery around your house. Did it grow by itself? No, you went to Lowe's, you went to the nursery, you went somewhere and you planted it. What God does is he handpicks you and plants you where you are. And you stay where God plants you because God will never plant you in a place that's barren. God always plants you where you're connected to a source that never runs dry. Somebody say, I'm planted.
I'm planted.
And what Satan wants to do is run you from a place that God has planted you in. Don't you move. When God has planted you there, you may not have it in you, but God will connect you to a source that will give you the answer that you need. And he said, you'll produce fruit in season. You know what I love about God? He don't text you, me, or nobody else when he gets ready to bless you. When God gets ready to bless you, he doesn't go by public opinion. He don't care what people say about you or what they don't say about you. God consults himself concerning you, and you will produce fruit in season. Oh, yeah. This morning before church got started, they were doing a run-through, and I loved hearing the kick thing on the drum. I love hearing the bass. They were on the organ. They were on the guitar. They were on the keyboard. Because I remember a time when we didn't have music in this church, and we were just singing to a track, and the track would never start on time, and it would always skip, and something would ever happen. And there was three singers, and we went a big middle school auditorium, 700 seats, about 50 of us. And I fast forward to 2017.
Come on.
And it may not mean nothing to you, but when I see what God is doing, it may not be the most elaborate thing yet, but we got some of God's best singing and playing and sitting in these seats. And when I look at what God has favored, listen, you came this morning.
Come on.
And you are the greatest thing God ever created. And if he blessed us with you coming here, my God, what a mighty God we serve. I just love to hear old preachers say, who wouldn't serve a God like that? He produces fruit in his season. And I don't care how things look, you're going to produce fruit in season. Your leaf will not wither because leaves always come before fruit. And your leaf is going to stay green. Your outer appearance, the thing is going to look good until God brings you through. The great thing about God is he beautifies the meek with salvation. I told you earlier, you don't have to look like what you're going through. Some of you got go through written on your forehead. And I know you're going through hell, but here's the thing about Christians. We can go through hell and call it a good time. Because he will never leave us and he will never. Oh, I know what I'm talking about here.
Yes, sir.
I know what it's like to go to sleep and be surprised that you woke up. I know what it's like to not have energy to go through today because you're grieving and you're hurting and you see God preach through you. You see God live through you. I'm not just talking. I know what it feels like that God will cause your leaf not to wither. And he said you're prospering whatever you do. You know what I love about God? It's not that you have the Midas touch and everything is just perfect. The great thing about God is you can fail the test and still pass the class. How many of y'all been to school in here for a few years? How many of y'all got A's on tests and don't remember half the stuff on the test? I got 2 degrees, don't remember half the stuff that I learned in school. Because I studied for the test, and when the test was over with, I didn't learn the lesson. Here's the thing about God. You can fail the test and you still pass the class because you learned the lesson. If nothing else, I will never go through that again. I will never put myself through that situation. And God honors that commitment and moves you on, not in approval of your mistakes, but in approval of the fact that you learned the lesson and God says they got it. Anybody love God? He's the only person I know that can bring success out of failure. Anybody be honest in here and say, you failed some things in your life?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to raise my hands, my arms. It's through the goodness of God that I'm here today. But God is the only one that brings success out of failure. The next thing is this. It said, the wicked are not so. Next slide. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. There's a picture there of grain. And when grain gets ready to be harvested, they can throw it up in the air. And the chaff is like the flowery thing you see on the top. And it separates. It's worthless. It goes nowhere, but it's covering the grain. When it comes time for harvest, God always separates what's good and what's not good. And many times wickedness looks good because it grows for a while. But after a while, it comes to a head. You know the great thing about being obedient to God? You don't have to live a lie. You know what? I know a little bit about this. When you lie, you got to remember the lie you told. And you got to remember it every day. And is that what I said? But here's the thing about the truth. The truth never changes. It never, you can tell the same. I can't change it. It is. Look, somebody say, it is what it is. Somebody say amen to that. But wicked life is worthless. It may seem like it's working for a minute. Let me tell you something. You just be smart. You be anointed, and that is enough. You don't have to do anything underhanded. You don't have to sell your soul. You don't have to be less than just to get ahead. You are enough. You need to wake up every morning and tell yourself, I am enough. And I can handle what God brings my way. Yeah. But the obedient life, being obedient to God, is worthwhile. Go to my next slide here. Verse 5 says this, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I saw a thing that said FOE, and I couldn't figure out what it is. Half these acronyms people use, I'd be having to search them up, because I'd be saying them, don't know, I'd be cussing people out. I'd like, let me figure out what this says if I repeat this. And it said FOE, family over everything. And I said, you know what, culture is over everything. Many people have a vision for their life, but they do the opposite of what they say. Culture is when you establish this is what's going to be, and it's consistent. Consistent thing of this church, we're going to honor time. We're going to start on time, and about 12 o'clock, you're going to be through. You can count it, and God's going to come in and intervene in that. Why? Because that's a culture part of what we do. If we're late, we don't get defensive and get mad at you for calling us on being late. I'm sorry, we'll get it better next time. It's a culture that we set. Culture is something that is taught, and the whole world is saying, don't judge me. You don't judge people when you have a culture. It's a set standard. My dad, he don't even remember. I was telling him the other day, I said, Dad, did you know your mama gave me a car at 15? I didn't have a license. I had a permit. And he said, we did? I said, yes, you bought me a car. I guess you're tired of taking me to practice. He said, you drive from here to school and come back. I got a job. I drove from house to whatever and come back. He said, nobody gets in the car. He started to set the stage. And when I turned 16, he told me, he said, nobody smokes in this car. Nobody does certain things in this car. And I'm like, all right. Guy got in, we shot basketball, he got in the car. You know the little automatic lighters that you use now to charge your phone? It's a lighter.
Yeah.
And this guy plugged it in. We ain't had no cell phone back then. You know, you lost. We ain't had no cell phones. He plugged it in and got ready to light a cigarette. I said, you can't smoke in here. All right, church boy. I said, this ain't got nothing to do with church. It's got to do with my daddy. He gave me these keys in this car. And if he'll smell smoke in here, I'm going to be walking with you. So you're not going to smoke in my car. It's called culture. And he was teaching me how to take care of my stuff. He said, Jason, everybody don't ride in your car with you. I didn't understand why, but I had some buddies that sold weed. He said, if they in the car with you and they catch them with weed, even though it ain't in your system or on your person, they will cut your little seats up, they will ransack your car and then tell you to go home or liable to impound it, not because of something you did, but because of the company that you keep. Y'all right in here? Here's something about culture. You teach people how to treat you by what you allow in your life. It says sinners don't stand in the congregation of the righteous. You want to weed the wrong people out of your life? Become the right person. They may start criticizing. Oh, you think you're all good now? You done went to church one Sunday, and now you Jesus Junior. You don't learn one scripture, and now you think you the walking Bible. They will stand. But you know what? It ain't you. It's them. It's a conviction feel on the inside, so they want to bring you down to where they are, but you look down from the top of the world and say, my feet are swinging and I love it up here, and I'm not coming down for anybody because culture trumps anything in my life. That makes sense in here? Last thing. It says, for the Lord knows the way, verse 6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Can you write this down? Just remember this. Your decisions are prophets to your destiny. Your decisions are prophets to your destiny. Imagine this. One friend's got a bad attitude. Bad, just cut up at any time. And got another friend who loves him and tells him the truth and says, if you don't get your attitude together, if you don't learn how to start getting along with people, you're going to lose your job. You're going to run good people out of your life. The other friend hears him and said, don't you dare speak that over my life. I'll always have a job. I'll always have friends. And the other friend says this, I'm not trying to speak anything over your life that your actions aren't already speaking. Your decisions and your actions are prophesying your future. They are deciding the path that you go down. And nobody's speaking anything negative over your life if you're already doing the negative thing that they're talking about. What they are saying is if you don't make a U-turn, things will never change in your life. I had a situation where this person was getting done wrong. And with tears in their eyes, they said, when is the wrath of God going to show up in this situation? God's got to get him. And he can't let this last. And I said, hey, man, that's anger you're speaking out of. That's not necessarily how God works. Many of you right now, you're scared of God. You're scared that he's living in heaven with a lightning bolt right now. You, if your car don't start, Lord, I knew I should have paid my tithes. He didn't do that to your engine. Oh, spark plugs. I mean, it may just be old. Transmissions, they just go out. The Lord took my scholarship when I was in school, and he was telling me, the Lord didn't take your scholarship. He ain't going to your school. He ain't. You didn't study. That's why you lost the scholarship. We blame stuff on God that ain't God, and then we get mad at him. And he's sitting there like, I didn't do that. The Lord did. He made me sick. How can he give you what he don't have? I just said something right there. The Lord gave me cancer. He don't got cancer. He's got healing. You all right in here? So we have this wrath of God that we think that God is angry, and he's calling your washing machine fall apart, and you're like, Lord, I need to start living right. That ain't got nothing to do with your washing machine working. You need to live right. You all right?
Yes.
What it is, what the wrath of God is, it looks like this. There are certain situations that are already judged. We got a rule in my house. Me and Barbara tell Isaiah, I don't care what you've done. If you tell the truth, you will not be in trouble. But if you tell a lie, you're going to get it. Got a decision. It's not about what he did. It's about how he responds. Now, if he lies and he comes to say he lies, we've already judged that situation. He continues to walk down that path. He's going to receive what we've already judged that path to do. But if he tells the truth, he's always got a way to turn around. That I don't care what you've done. I'm not going to judge you by what you've done. You're still my son, and I'm going to help you to get it right. God works the same way. There are certain things that we do that God has already judged. You're not going to prosper down that path. And you're going to get tired at a certain point in your life of going down dead ends. This is not working. I keep trying this, and I'm frustrated. Turn around and go the right direction and move out of the wrath of God. That makes sense in here. You walk down the path that God has designed for you. That's what the vengeance of God looks like. But when you walk, he said he knows the way of the righteous. When you're going down the right way, God will put everything in your path to cause you to see. I'm going to show you this scripture, the whole scripture I just did in an analogy. There was a father who had two sons. And he said, all right, guys, this is what I'm going to do. He was testing their intellect and their ability to think. He said, I'm going to either give you $10,000 a month on the first day of the month, or I'm going to give you a penny to start out the month and double it every day. How many of y'all would take the $10,000 up front? Gonna be honest. How many got Jesus Christ? The one son took the $10,000 up front, and boy, he was balling in week one. Man, he buying all kind of new stuff. He living good. At the end of week one, the son that took the penny that was doubled, he probably had about $5, $10. Can you go to my next slide? The son that took the penny, by the end of the month, he had $5.4 million. It took him to day 21 to catch up with where his brother started. When you're living right, it seems like that. Why am I always behind? Why do good guys seem like they finish last? Why does it seem like I try to do right and stuff never works out for me? It doesn't look like it's working out. The guy who had 10,000 started out with everything, but by the end of the month, he had nothing. The guy that started out with what seemed like nothing had $5.4 million by the end of the month, and if he wanted to, he can live off the interest of that for the rest of the year or the rest of his life. Watch how you start. It may seem small, but here's the thing about wickedness, and I'm through. You start out with everything in the beginning. It feels good. It feels great. But here's the thing about sin, to be honest. It costs you more than you want to pay, and it keeps you longer than you ever want to stay. And you get addicted to certain things, and you'll convince yourself. You will justify what's killing you. God says, I know, I don't want you to, oh my God. I want you to, there's help. God can cause you to turn around. You walk in the path of the righteous. There's certain things that God has already judged. He said, just go the other way. I got a path set up that leads to your destiny. Stand to your feet all over the building. He'll never walk out on you. Never. I'm a witness. The road may be rough. The going may be tough. But you're going to make it. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes in here. And I want to give you a chance to give your heart to the Lord.